Uncertainty in Athens.
Don't miss the numbers, the news, and Kai's final note. Subscribe to the Marketplace podcast. Find it on iTunes or online at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Across Europe this week, stock markets have been down and borrowing costs have been rising. The culprit, as usual, is uncertainty. And the center of that uncertainty this morning is Athens, Greece. The country held elections over the weekend, but so far has not formed a new government. Nick Malkoutsis is with the Greek newspaper Katimerini. He joins us now from Athens. Good morning.
Good morning.
So you had elections there over the weekend, but it sounds like nobody has really won yet.
That's right. We're a bit of a deadlock at the moment. The two main parties didn't get a clear majority in Parliament, and now there are efforts underway to try and form some kind of unity government. If there's no unity government, then the Greek president will try to broker a deal, and if that fails, then we'll have to go to a second round of elections.
A second round of elections. So this is really all putting the future of Greece in a very uncertain space at the moment.
Very much so, because Greece is due to run out of money in June. It's expecting more installments from its bailout with the EU and the IMF. But clearly, the Europeans and the IMF don't want to release any money until they know what government they're working with.
Now, I've seen a lot more headlines in the last couple of days about the possibility getting bigger that Greece will eventually leave the euro. What's your sense at this point?
Well, one of the leading parties at these elections, a leftist coalition, is against the bailout. And there is a concern that if Greece were to go along those lines, that would almost certainly lead to an exit from the euro. So there is a real possibility at the moment, but until we have a government, well, we can't be certain.
Nick Malkoutsis is deputy editor of the Greek newspaper Katimerini. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Well, in Charlotte, North Carolina today, Bank of America holds its annual shareholder meeting. And as Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports, the atmosphere inside probably won't be pretty.
Bank of America's stock price has dropped nearly 40% since shareholders last met a year ago. Bank analyst Paul Miller of FBR Capital says B of A is still having trouble swallowing the bad mortgages it inherited in the 2008 takeover of Countrywide Financial.
I don't think anybody understood how bad these mortgages were, and they're now spent well over $20 billion on various litigation, which has really, really hurt them hard.
B of A is hoping a $25 billion big bank settlement with state and federal governments signed last February will help put its subprime mortgage woes behind it. The bank has started contacting more than 200,000 customers who may be eligible for a break on their mortgages. Joseph Smith is the settlement's official monitor. He says the banks are helping struggling homebuyers reduce their mortgage payments and avoid foreclosure. But that takes time.
The businesses of these banks will be healthier as a result of what we're doing now.
Smith expects to issue the first progress update on the settlement this fall. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mostly lower in global trading this morning, down 0.7% in Hong Kong, 0.6% right now in Paris. Walt Disney Company is reporting a 21% jump in profit in its latest quarter, despite the flop that was John Carter. Disney says theme park attendance is up, and so is ad money from its cable channels, including ESPN. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 76 points to close at 12,932.
Show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
The head of AT&T says he has a big regret. He regrets that his company ever offered unlimited data plans to mobile phone users for a set price. The all-you-can-eat model, he says, is costing AT&T a lot of money. For more on this, let's bring in LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus. Good morning, David.
Morning, Jeremy.
So is the all-you-can-eat model, if you will, not a good one for companies?
I would say it was never a good one for companies because it always seems to turn around and bite you in the keister. Hmm. I mean, in the case of AT&T's Randall Stephenson saying that the iPhone all-you-can-eat plan wasn't a good idea, well, of course it wasn't because people would start using it a lot. And then there was that much-discussed article in the LA Times the other day about American Airlines offering $350,000 all-you-can-use first-class tickets for the rest of your life. And then what is it? Turns out that it's costing over $1 million a year per passenger.
So then why did these companies do it in the first place?
I think they do it because they just don't crunch the numbers. And they figure, boy, not a lot of people will take us up on it. We'll get more money over the long run than the customer. What they don't figure is the customer's not stupid. You offer them something like this, and they will figure out how to make the most of it.
Now, are the cousin of all-you-can-eat plans lifetime subscriptions, are those also flawed in your view?
I would say so, simply because oftentimes market circumstances or technology will overtake things. For example, a few years ago, there was a Seattle company called Traffic Gauge, which offered lifetime subscription to real-time traffic information, and then it found out that that lifetime subscription was costing it a pretty penny, so it tacked on a $9.95 annual fee to boot, thus reneging on its original contract, but saying, hey, what can we do? Times change. Well, of course they do.
Well, what about all-you-can-eat buffets, though, David? They do seem to work. I mean, you go to some restaurants and they offer, you know, unlimited breadsticks or unlimited pasta. They seem to stay in business.
Well, yeah, but these guys really crunch the numbers and they look at how much people will really use. And they also kind of use low-quality ingredients. So unless these guys get overrun by a troop of sumo wrestlers, which probably isn't going to happen a lot, chances are they're going to come out ahead. But here's the main thing. In about 20 years, according to the latest projections, the obesity rate among adult Americans will be nearly 50%. So I would say all-you-can-eat restaurants, they're like toxic waste dumps.
LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And finally to Wisconsin, where state authorities are fining Kraft Foods for making hot dogs that were too skinny. Inspectors found 24 packages of short-weight Oscar Mayer products. Kraft will pay about $40,000 in penalties. A spokeswoman for Kraft told the Wisconsin State Journal that corrections have been made to avoid skinny hot dogs, or as she calls them, unplanned and unwanted variances. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.